translation, amongst great bowmen, this child will be as good as Arjuna. He will be irresistible as fire and as unsurpassable as the ocean. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In history there are two Arjunas. One is Kartavirya Arjuna, the king of Haihaya, and the other is the grandfather of the child, Parikshit. Both the Arjunas are famous for their bowmanship, and the child Parikshit is foretold to be equal to both of them, particularly in fighting. A short description of the Pandava Arjuna is given below. Pandava Arjuna, the great hero of the Bhagavad Gita, he is the Kshatriya son of Maharaj Pandu. Queen Kuntidev could call for any one of the demigods, and thus she called Indra, and Arjuna was born by him. Arjuna is therefore a plenipart of the heavenly king Indra. He was born in the month of Falgun, February, March, and therefore he is also called Falguni. When he appeared as the son of Kunti, his future greatness was proclaimed by air messages, and all the important personalities from different parts of the universe, such as the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Adityas from the sun globe, the Rudras, the Vasus, the Nagas, the different rishis, sages of importance, and the Apsaras, the society girls of heaven, all attended the ceremony. The Apsaras pleased everyone by their heavenly dances and songs. Vasudev, the father of Lord Krishna and the maternal uncle of Arjuna, sent his priest representative Kasyapa to purify Arjuna by all the prescribed samskaras, or reformatory processes. His samskara of being given a name was performed in the presence of the rishis, residents of Shatashringa. He married four wives, Draupadi, Subhadra, Chitrangada, and Alupi, from whom he got four sons of the names Shrutakirti, Abhimanyu, Babruvahan, and Iravan, respectively. During his student life, he was entrusted to study under the great professor Dronacharya, along with other Pandavas and the Kurus. But he excelled everyone by his studious intensity, and Dronacharya was especially attracted by his disciplinary affection. Dronacharya accepted him as a first grade scholar and loved heartily to bestow upon him all the blessings of military science. He was so ardent a student that he used to practice bowmanship even at night, and for all these reasons Professor Dronacharya was determined to make him the topmost bowman of the world. He passed very brilliantly the examination in piercing the target, and Dronacharya was very pleased. Royal families of Manipur and Tripura are descendants of Arjuna's son Babruvahan. Arjuna saved Dronacharya from the attack of a crocodile, and the Acharya, being pleased with him, rewarded him with a great weapon of the name Brahmashiras. Maharaj Drupad was inimical towards Dronacharya, and thus when he attacked the Acharya, Arjuna got him arrested and brought him before Dronacharya. He besieged the city of the name Aichartra. Belonging to Dronacharya. Belonging to Maharaj Drupad. and after taking it over, he gave it to Dronacharya. The confidential treatment of the weapon Brahmashiras was explained to Arjuna, and Dronacharya was promised by Arjuna that he would use the weapon if necessary when he, Dronacharya, personally became an enemy of Arjuna. By this, the Acharya forecast the future battle of the Kurukshetra, in which Dronacharya was on the opposite side. Maharaj Drupad, although defeated by Arjuna on behalf of his professor Dronacharya, decided to hand over his daughter Draupadi to his young combatant. But he was disappointed when he heard the false news of Arjuna's death in the fire of Shalak house, intrigued by Duryodhana. He therefore arranged for Draupadi's personal selection of a groom who could pierce the eye of a fish hanging on the ceiling. This trick was especially made because only Arjuna could do it, and he was successful in his desire to hand over his equally worthy daughter to Arjuna. Arjuna's brothers were at that time living incognito under agreement with Duryodhana, and Arjuna and his brothers attended the meeting of Draupadi's selection in the dress of Brahmins. When all the Kshatriya kings assembled saw that a poor Brahmin had been garlanded by Draupadi for her lord, Sri Krishna disclosed his identity to Balaram. Let's remember that this is very, very brief. He's not explaining the whole thing. He's just going from one point to another. He met Ulupi at Haridwar, and he was attracted by a girl belonging to Nagaloka, and thus Iravan was born. Similarly, he met Chitrangad, a daughter of the king of Manipur, and thus Babrabahan was born. Lord Sri Krishna made a plan to help Arjuna to kidnap Subhadra, sister of Sri Krishna, because Baladev was inclined to hand her over to Duryodhana. Yudhisthira also agreed with Sri Krishna, and thus Subhadra was taken by force by Arjuna and married to him. Subhadra's son is Abhimanyu, the father of Parikshit Maharaj, the posthumous child. Arjuna satisfied the fire god by setting fire to the Kandava forest, and thus the fire god gave him one weapon. Indra was angry when the fire was set in the Kandava forest, and thus Indra, assisted by all the demigods, began fighting with Arjuna for his great challenge. They were defeated by Arjuna, and Indradev returned to his heavenly kingdom. Arjuna also promised all protection to one Mayasura, and the latter presented him one valuable conch shell celebrated as the Devadatta. Similarly, he received many other valuable weapons from Indradev when he was satisfied to see his chivalry. When Maharaj Yudhisthira was disappointed in defeating the king of Magadha, Jarasandha, it was Arjuna only who gave King Yudhisthira all kinds of assurances. And thus Arjuna, Bhima and Lord Krishna started for Magadha to kill Jarasandha. When he went out to bring all other kings of the world under the subjugation of the Pandavas, as was usual after the coronation of every emperor, he conquered the country named Kalinda and brought in subjugation King Bhagadat. Then he travelled through countries like Antagiri, Ulukapur and Modapur, and brought under subjugation all the rulers. Sometimes he underwent severe types of penances, and later on he was rewarded by Indradev. Lord Shiva also wanted to try the strength of Arjuna, and in the form of an aborigine, Lord Shiva met him. There was a great fight between the two, and at last Lord Shiva was satisfied with him and disclosed his identity. Arjuna prayed to the Lord in all humbleness, and the Lord, being pleased with him, presented him the Pashupat weapon. He acquired many other important weapons from different demigods. He received Dandashastra from Yamaraj, Pashastra from Varuna, and Antadharanashtra from Kuvera, the treasure of the heavenly kingdom. Indra wanted to come to the heavenly kingdom, the Indraloka planet, beyond the moon planet. In that planet he was cordially received by the local residents, and he was awarded reception in the heavenly parliament of Indradev. Then he met Indradev, who not only presented him with the Vajra weapon, but also taught him the military and musical science as used in the heavenly planet. In one sense, Indra is the real father of Arjuna, and therefore, indirectly, he wanted to entertain Arjuna with a famous society girl of heaven, Urvasi. Urvasi, the celebrated beauty. The society girls of heaven are lusty, and Urvasi was very eager to contact Arjuna, the strongest human being. She met him in his room and expressed her desire. But Arjuna sustained his unimpeachable character by closing his eyes before Urvasi, addressing her as mother of the Kuru dynasty, and placing her in the category of his mother Kunti, Madri, and Sachidevi, the wife of Indradev. Disappointed, Urvasi cursed Arjuna and left. In the heavenly planet, he also met the great celebrated ascetic Lomasha and prayed to him for the protection of Maharaj Yudhisthira. When his inimical cousin Duryodhana was under the clutches of the Gandharvas, he wanted to save him and requested the Gandharvas to release Duryodhana. But the Gandharvas refused, and thus he fought with them and got Duryodhana released. When all the Pandavas lived in Cognito, he presented himself in the court of King Virat as a eunuch, and was employed as the musical teacher of Uttara, the future daughter-in-law, and was known as in the Virat court as Brihatnala. As Brihatnala, he fought on behalf of Uttara, the son of King Virat, and thus defeated the Kurus in the fight incognito. His secret weapons were safely kept in the custody of a somi tree, and he ordered Uttara to get them back. His identity and his brother's identity was later undisclosed to Uttara. Dronacharya was informed of Arjuna's presence in the fight of the Kurus and the Viratas. Later on, the Battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna killed many great generals like Karna and others. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, he punished Aswatthama, who had killed all the five sons of Draupadi. Then all the brothers went to Bhishmadev. It is due to Arjuna only that the great philosophical discourses of the Bhagavad Gita were again spoken by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. His wonderful acts on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are vividly described in the Mahabharata. Arjuna was defeated, however, by his son, Babravahan, at Manipur, and fell unconscious when Alupi saved him. After the disappearance of Lord Krishna, the message was brought by Arjuna to Maharaj Yudhisthira. Again, Arjuna visited Dwarka, and all the widow wives of Lord Krishna lamented before him. He took them all in the presence of Vasudev and pacified all of them. Later on, when Vasudev passed away, he performed his funeral ceremony in the absence of Krishna. While Arjuna was taking all the wives of Krishna to Indraprastha, he was attacked on the way, and he could not protect the ladies in his custody. At last, advised by Vyasadev, all the brothers headed for Mahaprasthan. On the way, at the request of his brothers, he gave up all important weapons as useless, and he dropped them all in the water. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pastatyade Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So that was a lot to take in. And each point can be expanded on in the Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But here in this chapter, we carried on from the previous chapter, which is the Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. And then Shaunaka started asking more questions about the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. And so then Suta Goswami began to explain about Yudhisthira Maharaj, who was the emperor at the moment. And then he started to explain about Parikshit being protected in the womb. And therefore, by this protection, it was for Krishna's plan was going to unfold that he would become the emperor of the world. And then Maharaj Parikshit made so many, prepared for Maharaj. He celebrated Maharaj Parikshit's appearance. And then now the sages are actually expounding the glories of Maharaj Parikshit. And when we expound somebody's glories, we have to compare them to somebody. Otherwise, we can't really understand their glories if we don't have any reference. Just like when we're reading the Bhagavatam, we hear things in the higher planets, you know, and we think, we haven't got a clue what they're talking about. You know, we have to accept it on authority. Has anybody had that experience? Prabhupada sometimes uses examples and it's not so clear, you know. And so we have to be relevant. That's the point. So here, Prabhupada's being relevant. He's explaining about somebody who was known. That's Maharaj. That's Arjuna. And so everybody is aware of Arjuna's glories. And so, therefore, we can understand the potency and the power of Maharaj Parikshit. Otherwise, he would just be another king. So it's okay for other people to do that. But we shouldn't do that. If we start comparing ourselves to others, then we'll get really in hot water. But that's a whole aspect. We should, you know, should be satisfied. I was looking on WhatsApp. Somebody sent me a message, you know, a little video, and this person, he was just gaining a Rolls Royce. He sat in it, and then his chauffeur went round the other side and got in. And he said, you know, he says, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so, he's just bought a jet. He said, I'd be so happy if I had a jet. And the chauffeur said, well, you're not doing bad. You've got a Rolls Royce. And so, and then somebody came and knocked at the window, and he wound the window. He said, you know, if I had this Rolls Royce, I'd be so happy. He said, you know, I've just got to beat up old Honda there. And he looked at him and said, you know, I'm not doing so bad. And he wound the window up again. And then it shows him going to his Honda and he kicks the wheel. He said, he's not really fired up about the Honda. And he's just going to get in the car. And then this woman passes. He says, what are you kicking the car for? She says, it's just an old beat up old Honda, isn't it? You know. She says, well, you're more lucky than me. He says, I've got to catch the bus. And then off she storms, so he gets in the car. I'm pretty well off, actually, you know. And then she's just running for the bus. She misses it. And she's cursing like any... Well, I don't know if she was cursing, but she was like under her breath. She wasn't really happy. And then this guy on a bike came by. He said, what's the matter? He said, I've just missed the bus. He said, you're lucky. I can't afford to go on the bus. I cycle 20 miles every day on this bike. And so then he rides off and she's thinking, you know, I'm not so bad off, you know, to be able to afford to get the bus. And then, you know, he's riding along and he comes to his place and he gets up and he's really annoyed that he's having to cycle 20 miles every day and he's aching. And this woman comes out in a wheelchair. And he said, what are you complaining about? He says, I have to cycle this 20 miles every day. He said, well, at least you've got a pair of legs to do it. And he looks at her and he says, you know, why are you so happy? You know, she's got no legs. He says, well, I saw somebody the other day, they got no arms. So that's a reality, isn't it? We all, you know, we tend to always want more than what we always want to compare ourselves. But, you know, we've got everything. We want for nothing. Can you imagine how frustrated Krishna must be? He provides everything laid on a plate, and yet, you know, we're too stupid to take advantage of it a lot of the time. So, yeah, he's comparing to Arjuna. And Arjuna, we know, Maharaj Parikshit, newborn, we don't know his qualities. And then, of course, it goes on expounding his... And then the chapter finishes. So... Yeah, Arjuna was a perfect student. What's the difference between a perfect student and a, you know, not such a perfect student? What's the first class student? He knows the mind of the teacher. And therefore, he does things before he's asked. So Arjuna was like that. And he was constantly introspective. I forget the conversation was between. I didn't have time to read up, but it's in the Mahabharat. It might have been at Duryodhana or something like that. And they were saying, don't let Arjuna eat in the dark. You know, whatever you do, make sure he eats in the light. And so one day, you know, the candle blew out while they were taking prasadam. And, you know, Arjuna was so introspective and thoughtful, he thought, you know, if I can eat in the dark, I can, you know, shoot arrows in the dark. And he started practicing shooting arrows in the dark until he could hit his target. So that's first class student. I was just thinking to talk a little bit about Guru Dakshin. You know, because Arjuna, he didn't have any ordinary Guru Dakshin. He had to go and capture Drupada, who was a ferocious fighter. He wasn't an ordinary Kshatriya, he was one of the best. Because, you know, this long story, but, you know, Drupada and Dronacharya, they were friends together. And, you know, when they grew up, Drupada became very, very proud. And when Dronacharya, was a poor Brahmin, approached him for help due to his wife getting on his case. So he asked, and then he said, you know, we're not equals. He said, you know, Dronacharya said, my friend, and Drupada become proud, he says, we're not friends. His friends are equal. So, you know, that really hurt Dronacharya. And then later on, of course, the point came where Dronacharya wanted to get his own back, and now he'd got, you know, he was a Brahmin, he couldn't fight against Drupada. It's against the Brahminical culture. And so now he got a disciple who was qualified, and so he sent Arjuna to capture him. And this is the story behind this. And then, you know, he threw him down in front of Dronacharya, and then, you know, he was blindfolded. He didn't know what was going off. And then they took the blindfold off, and he just saw two pair of feet. And then he looked up. It was Dronacharya. And he said, now we are equal. So this is the material world, isn't it? You know, it's just like, tush, tush, and it never stops. It goes on and on and on. And the only way to become free from that is by, you know, devotional service. But still in devotional service, tush, tush, it goes on and on, doesn't it? You know, sometimes. Have you noticed? So what does Bhagavad Gita tell us? He says what? Tolerant, yeah, but he might think, you know, he might be tolerating, but you're not. So what's the weapon we use? It's like, what's that weapon? It's not a sword. It's got a wooden handle and it's got a piece on the end, like with a blade. It's an axe. So sort of knowledge is true as well. We have to have knowledge. That comes first. We have to understand the process of devotional service properly. Not superficially, but very deeply. And then, automatically, this other weapon we can use. What's that? An axe. The axe of detachment. This is in the 15th chapter, isn't it? Detachment. If we're detached, it's like nobody can. This is a Brahmin, isn't it? This is a Vaishnava. A Brahmin is so detached. He's so. What's the word? Not detached. He's so renounced. That means detachment. That, you know, nobody can do anything with him. So we have to become like that. Just like when. What do they call him now? He went from Alexander the Great. Can you imagine what he'd be, you know. In the Iranians or the Persians were world-class fighters. And he set off from Greece and he went straight through Iran. Then he went through, you know, the Hindu Kush into India and defeated, I think he went through the north of India. You know, he was such a powerful fighter. And then one day he saw one Brahmin who was, you know, he was sat in a ring of fire. This was one of the austere, 16 ring fire in the middle of the sun. You know, the English used to do that, didn't they, when they went to India? Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. So this was actually. Well, he went to mad dog, he was a Brahmin, he was doing it for a purpose, it was austerity. And, you know, Alexander the Great said, wow, this is something, I've never come across anybody. Who was as austere as this person. I fought with so many great kings and, you know, this beats their lot. And so he stood in front of him and says, my dear Brahmin, you really attracted me by your austerity. He says, please, can I do any service? You can ask a benediction from me. He said, yeah, you're blocking the sun. Can you move to one side? So that's what a Brahmin should be able to do. Not that, you know, we're like, if I do that, you know, there might be a reaction. And if I do that, there will be, maybe. But he's not bothered. Because he's a higher purpose. A Brahmin knows that nobody can really hurt me. I'm not the body. But a Vaishnava knows that nobody can really hurt me. I'm a devotee of Krishna. If Krishna wants to put me in a difficult situation, what can I do? If Krishna doesn't, then what can I do? So it's time now. long purport. Just waffled on for a bit. Well, you know, what can you say? You know, fill all that in, take, like, we'll be here next week. Or how would anyway everybody have been there? So, another point here, quick one. Oh, where's Sam? Sam's spaced out. Yeah, it's supposed to be here. This is the backup. All right, we'll have some questions then. Oh, we won't have any questions. Some comments. There's not much to question about, really, but anyway, Arjuna was a symbol of empowerment. You know, he was empowered to do more than what he could do. So this is an important lesson from this. You know, we can also be empowered to do more than what we can do, because it's not up to us. If we're only empowered to do what we think we can do, we won't do anything. What can we do, you know, before we came to devotional service? And then, you know, we start getting empowered and we start getting, you know, thinking that it's us. So we should keep that mentality that, you know, we're fresh. You know, there's nothing that, if Krishna wants me to do it, I can do it. In that way, we can, you know, really really excel in devotional service, really become dependent on Krishna, just like Arjuna. And eventually, when Krishna thought he doesn't need that empowerment anymore, and he took it away. You know, and a group of coward men, he couldn't even beat them. So we should remember that, yeah?